Moms are hardcore.
Hello and welcome to Moms of Flavor Town.
Pew 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 pew.
Hello, I am Rachel.
I am Debbie. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I am recording for the first time from my new desk.
Ooh.
I know. I feel very fancy. I'm sitting at a desk chair. When we moved into our place, we have like a lot of space in our bedroom. And we're like, oh, this will be where the office will go.
Uh-huh.
And we went to the big reuse. You've been there many times, I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So we went to the big reuse and I got this amazing office chair. It's like very 70s. Mm-hmm. And that was literally probably, 20 months ago.
Yeah.
And we never got a desk because, you know, we wanted to get a used desk, but we don't have a big car to haul a desk.
Mm-hmm.
And I like just didn't want to get IKEA. No hate to IKEA. We talked about it last week, but you know what?
Totally.
And I told you that last week, someone in my building sent like something out to the building being like, we're giving away a desk. And I got it in my building. So I didn't even have to haul it anywhere. And now I feel very official because I've always just been like crouched on the bed or whatever.
Yeah. 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 I love that. As I'm sitting crouched on the bed.
Yeah, but you work from home. So you have like, I don't work from home. If anyone doesn't know that, I work in the office all the time. And so don't come at me. Sometimes I have low patience for remote workers, but coming at me about it. But since you work from home, I feel like that you have like more experience with your computer in different areas of your house.
Yeah. But I also like haven't found the ideal setup yet, you know, like I still, and it, I, you know, John has seen me I bought like one of these devices that you wear on your back and it, like you wear it like a necklace and it hangs on your back and it buzzes you every time you have bad posture.
Ooh.
Like I tried like all sorts of different things. And I haven't found truly like my favorite setup because what I really need is a seat that is comfy, but also I have direct view of the TV so I can watch, I can have my shitty TV on in the background and look up every once in a while and like enjoy it, you know?
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I know again, like that is, I know that that's very, privileged.
I don't begrudge anyone that gets to work from home. I just get annoyed at people. And here, this is another one of our working class struggles. Mm-hmm. I just get annoyed with people with like people that assume like it's always like some like tech person who has one of those jobs. You have no idea what it means. And they just assume that everyone works from home and they understand that people don't.
Right.
That's what bothers me is because a lot of people don't. And me nor Spencer works from home. John can't work from home.
John
you
can't
know.
Work from home. Yeah.
So, and you were working from home way before COVID, right?
No, I got let go. Oh,
I always forget. I just assume because like we started hanging out like post quarantine.
Yeah.
And I always like assume that you just had your job forever, but you actually didn't have it that long before I met you.
Right. Like, well, the funny thing was, so I, hopefully my old bosses, I don't know, whatever. I was working for this company pretty much for like about 10 years, give or take. And then, I had Charlie. And then just a few weeks after my maternity leave, I was told that my heart just wasn't in it anymore. So, yeah.
You have told me that story. And that is very, for anyone listening, that's illegal. Don't do that.
Yep. So, and then finally I like, you know, started freelancing and blah, blah, blah. So,
okay. Yeah. So you were freelancing before you started working at Positive Jam PR where you were.
Correct. Yes.
Okay, cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. So yeah. So like, I don't like, yeah, like I said, again, I don't begrudge anyone who works from home. I think that people should be allowed to work from home. I think that I should be able to work from home. Like I actually don't want to work fully remote because I do not like to be in my apartment all day.
Yeah, I'm shaking my head. Yes, because I would love a hybrid situation. Like that's my ideal, I think.
Yes. So I would like to do like, you know, 3 in, 2 out probably. Mm-hmm. That's my ideal. And also what I would love is I would be fine going to the office 5 days a week if I could work walking distance from my house. And that is the dream, the walkable cities dream or whatever, God. Right? So that's like, that's the problem is that we live in these big cities where people work in this business center and no one can afford to live near there and et cetera, et cetera. So that's the big problem.
The only time I ever was able to walk or bike ride to work reasonably was when I was a waitress.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's restaurants everywhere.
Right.
I have like, yeah, I've never lived near my office and I've like, yeah, whatever. But it's fine. But now I have my, and I actually am working home from home tomorrow. So my current job, like they hate it if you work from home, but like during COVID we did it. So like we're mm-hmm. set up for it. So they'll let us do it in like an emergency. And I have a big emergency tomorrow, which is that I am hosting Passover.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
By the time this comes out, the first 2 nights of Passover, which is when people have their seders, are mostly over. But yeah, Passover starting tomorrow night as of this recording. And Debbie is coming to my house for a seder, which is very exciting.
I'm so excited. And I am making chopped liver, which is one of my favorite things to make and eat.
My grandmother made chopped liver all the time, which is a classic thing you get at your grandma's house, right?
Totally.
But like I've never made it. Mm-hmm. And Spencer, my husband, who is not Jewish, has never had it. So I am very excited for him to try it. I mean, he's had plenty of like chicken liver mousse. I'm sure it won't be like, that different than what he's, but
right.
Do you put the eggs in it?
I do put eggs in it. So this is my big, this always is like my big internal debate. Normally it's like you put like caramelized onions or something in it. Sammy's Romanian,
ooh,
which is coming back.
I heard.
Is already back. They used to burn their onions.
Ooh, and to have like a charred flavor.
Yeah, and like, and it gave it like this like kind of interesting, like the, you know how like onions when they're charred like can get a little stringy.
Yes,
it was like actually a nice contrast to the really creamy liver mousse, you know. So, I always am like, oh, should I try that? But I never do because like burnt onions is like such a thing, you know.
Yes,
I don't want to like upset anyone.
And also, I feel like it's hard to like do that right, even
yes,
though it's
exactly.
Like, yes, totally.
Yeah.
I will read to our listeners my entire menu for tomorrow, which I am excited about, which I am enough in process of that I'm not too freaked out.
Nice.
So I'm doing deviled eggs, matzo ball soup. Spencer loves to make stock. He loves to make soup. So he made the chicken broth and I'm going to make the matzo balls.
Nice.
A mushroom leek matzo kugel.
Oof.
A roasted beet and goat cheese salad.
Mm.
And I'm doing a brisket, my Aunt Sally's classic recipe, which is like the best brisket recipe because it has like all those like weird like 50s housewife things in it. Mm-hmm. Like it has the Lipton soup packet.
Excellent.
It has a packet of duck sauce.
Yes.
I talked about last year. And it has, I think it says 2 squirts of ketchup.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, it's very, it's not gourmet. I mean, it is gourmet because it's hard to make or whatever, but mm-hmm. And then roasted broccolini with lemon and mm-hmm. garlic. And also I got the jarred gefilte fish.
Yes.
And of course, you know, the matzah, and my cousin is making the harosets and everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited. And I had like a brisket emergency because I we decided to go grocery shopping on Saturday because I didn't want to like leave it till Sunday morning and then I couldn't get brisket. I was like very scared. So we like went to like literally five stores. Well, so we went to Stop and Shop first and they had a 10 pound brisket or a 1 pound brisket. And I was like, obviously I can't have either of these briskets.
Right.
Like 10 pounds is just, I wouldn't have anywhere to cook it even, you know?
Yeah.
So I asked them and I was kind of hoping they would like offer to cut up the 10 pound one for me, but they did not. And
rude.
I know. They're like, nope, that's all we have. And then I went to a bunch of other stores and nowhere had it. So I'm like Googling and because I was like, this is an emergency. And I was like, what can I use instead of brisket? And like the internet said that you can use like a chuck roast and it will like cook the same. Mm-hmm. So I did find chuck roast and I got like 5 pounds of chuck roast. Mm-hmm. But I was like depressed because I'm sure it would have tasted great. Mm-hmm. But I was like, this is not brisket, you know? Right. Like it's
brisket has a very specific texture that
and it's just and like the dish is not called like roasted meat. It's it's called it's not just called like a roast.
Right.
It's called brisket.
Right.
So I was like, at least I have something. And then today we went to the farmer's market and like the farmer's market, you like, you have to like be lucky. I feel like to get something there. Cause you never know what they're going to have or how much or whatever. So
especially at like the time you go, like that's like a big thing too.
So we were like, oh, we'll just check to see. So Spencer went to check and at the farmer's market, they had a 5 pound, it was the last one. They had a 5 pound brisket. Excellent. That is the last one they had. And I told Spencer, like, get like 4 pounds. So he was like, I got 5 pounds. Is that okay? But it was, so yeah. So, and then it was like, I texted you this, but like yesterday I was feeling like depressed about Passover because like I invited too many people. And then all of a sudden, there was going to be like two extra people and I was, and then I didn't get the brisket and I was like really pissed and I was like, I should never have hosted Passover. But then today the extra people couldn't come anymore and I found this brisket and it was making me think about that Bluey episode that we were talking about, The Sign, which you watch because like, that's the whole thing. It's like, you never know if something's good or bad, you know, and then it all worked out, you know, so.
Yay.
Even though I was mixed on the message of The Sign, because I feel like that if any kid is actually moving, they're going to be really depressed.
I mean, for real. I've never met anyone who is like any kid who is excited to move.
Yeah. And it's like that whole thing where they, I know it's a cartoon and you can't examine it too closely, but like, their house was completely packed and they were out the door and then they're not moving.
Right.
Like a contract can fall through.
Yeah.
But you would not be at that point.
Like, no.
So.
Cause there's too many contracts involved at that point.
Yeah, exactly. The bank is involved. It's not just like, and also Spencer and I were talking cause you know, we have gone through the process of buying a place.
Uh-huh.
And we were like, well, if they were just able to back out that quickly, the sign shouldn't have said sold. The sign should have said in contract. Because when you're in contract, you can back out.
I mean, but maybe there's things are different in Australia. I don't
know. Yeah, like they have the seatbelt law that we found out about.
Right.
But yeah, so anything else new with you?
You know, just looking forward to all the Passover stuff. It's like, I really love matzah. Like, oh, I really love it. It's so, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just like a comfort thing because it's like what I grew up eating and whatever. Yeah. But like, I will like chomp on matzah for like just the hell of it. And like, I love to do all sorts of different things with it. Like, it, I don't know. I'm not going to keep kosher for Passover. I never have. It's just not what I do. But I will always have matzah around.
I love it with just butter on it. That's delicious. I was telling Spencer today, I was like explaining kosher for Passover a little bit because we were driving through an Orthodox area, and I was talking about, you know, like the Orthodox people, like some of them do that thing where they sell their chametz to someone, and like, you know, all these things. And then I was like, yeah, I've never say kosher for Passover because I've tried a few times, but then it's always like day three and I'm like accidentally eating pepperoni pizza or something.
Right, right.
And Spencer was like, yeah, well, it's never that long between when you eat pepperoni pizza. Oh my God. And this is just reminding me of this story. So I was in this Facebook group. I'm sorry, I talk about Facebook groups in this podcast a lot, but I was in this Facebook group that it was like it was some one of those like meme groups, like making fun of Jewish stuff. It was like, you know, like, I think it was like, are the goyim okay or something?
Yeah.
And it was all Jewish people making fun of goyim, and it was fun. And I posted something. Oh yeah, so someone came to my house for Passover, and they brought with, and they weren't like, what can I bring? They like texted like, oh, I'm bringing matzah, and I like thought that was very funny because I was like, if there's one thing I don't need, it's like I have, you know, like that's like the last thing like you need to bring to my house, you know.
Right.
So I posted about that in the group and people were so mad at me and were like, you're so ungrateful.
Blah, oh my blah, God.
Blah. But like, but here's the thing is that they went back through my Facebook and they found a post where I had made, where I had talked about eating pepperoni pizza during Passover and like screenshotted it and was like, is this you? And we're like discrediting my Jewishness because I posted about that. Oh my God. They like doxed me about it.
Oh
kind
my
of.
God.
I know, not dox. They did not dox me. No one came to my house and yelled at me, but it was, but yeah, so it's true. I can't keep kosher or Passover. It's impossible.
Yeah. Also, like, I don't know. We don't have to get into our levels of Jewishness.
Yeah, I know. I agree. But also I will say that me and Debbie are going to be using a like anti-Zionist Haggadah, which like we will only whatever Haggadah we use. Well, first of all, it's the Jewish tradition that you never read the second half of the Haggadah, no matter what. And also there's going to be, you know, three kids under five, so we won't read very much of it, but yeah, but we do have one that Debbie's friend wrote. So I'm very happy about that.
And, you know, in our family tradition, one after the Seinfeld yada, yada, yada episode, that was like, we started just that was how we skip pages. We would just go, oh,
that's cute.
They did this and yada, yada, yada. And they did this and yada, yada, yada.
And the one I printed out was pretty short. Like the one that you sent me was like pretty short anyway. And I only printed out like the part I thought we were going to do.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So should we come here for what we are meant to do?
Sorry.
There's one more thing I wanted to talk about before we started. Did you get a chance to watch the new show 24 and 24 yet?
Okay. Our lovely producer gave us their ESPN Plus password. I did not. But
no, sorry, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about 24 and 24. Sorry, not the Tobias show because I don't know if that's even out yet.
Yeah.
24 and 24 is the new competition show that they've been advertising on Food Network where 24 chefs in 24 hours and the whole thing takes place in 24 hours.
Wow.
So like the farther you get, like the longer you're awake.
Oh God.
And friend of the pod, Carlos Anthony is there. And he like DM'd me and was like, did you watch 24 and 24?
Yeah. So did you?
Well, I just want to say that it made me very happy to get that DM because it really is like, it's so cool that people care if we watch their show.
Yeah.
You know? And, I watched the first episode. It's pretty good. I definitely like it. It's totally like crazy. And, I would like you to watch it so we can discuss it because, Spencer like couldn't handle it.
Oh.
He was just like,
too chaotic.
Because it's like it seems like they're literally trying to torture these people, you know. It's like they're gonna be. But Carlos Anthony, I told him that I'm like, oh, like it seems like a little bit like cruel, and he was like, oh no, it's kind of normal in our industry. So, you know,
I do want to say one thing. I did start watching I did start watching Wild Card.
Oh, how was that?
And I loved it. I'm okay. Like, it's really, have you watched any yet?
I have not seen it yet, no.
It's so adorable because it's like, it's very casual. In kind of the same way that like Triple Threat is in the, like, everybody's hanging out and like, and I really enjoy that.
Awesome.
And friend of the pod, Carlos Anthony, is also on an episode. I haven't watched his episode yet, but I'm just really excited. It's cool because you get to see like their dynamic a little bit. Like, people like let their hair down a little bit. They're like, you know, sitting, they're like talking trash at each other. It's like, it's really cute. I really enjoyed it.
Have you ever seen Chopped After Dark?
No.
Chopped After Dark is like, after the Chopped is over, the judges like cook with like what's left or something.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I have seen it. It's
and
been
that
a long
sounds
time.
Like the similar vibe to what you're talking about.
Very much so.
Where, like, they're just like having fun, kind of. Okay, so shall we recap Top Chef episode 5?
Yeah.
I love this episode because it was, remember last episode, they like didn't do the format. This was like a real Top Chef episode. And also, we will talk about it, but Last Chance Kitchen, I'll admit, I was surprised.
Oh, really?
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
They surprised me. They got me. I didn't think that that was going to happen.
Uh-huh.
So I was overall very happy with the episode. I thought it was a good one.
I thought it was a good one. I was sad to see, I don't want to spoil, I guess, whatever. Yeah. I was sad to see Charlie go.
But I was listening to a previous episode that we did, and I think that they made it obvious that Charlie was going to go home soon the whole time, you know? And during Last Chance Kitchen,
yeah,
Spencer was like, Tom has hated Charlie since he first set eyes on him.
For real?
And I kind of feel like that's true. I feel bad for Charlie, but Tom did not like him. And, you know, we did that thing about like bias in Top Chef. And I don't think that that's untrue. There is a bias in Top Chef.
I completely agree. Charlie made food that was unfamiliar to Tom.
Yes.
And also he's black. So like, it's just that combination was...
And then Tom was able to like say that the flaws in Charlie's dishes were worse than flaws in other dishes because he just like didn't like him as much, basically.
Right.
Okay. So the previously on for this episode shows Rosica and Danny winning and Buddha and Kristen giving their lecture about like, you got to cook good food now. And it opens up in the hotel in Madison, and the chefs are in like groups talking, and they're talking in that very like stage reality show way where, you know, they were like, okay, you three go in this area, you four go over here, which is always funny to like see where they try to make it look like, oh, they're just sitting here together, but it's staged. Laura says she has 3 siblings and that's why she's competitive, and also that she had to live on her own starting at 15 or 16. And that's intense.
That is so intense.
I couldn't really like understand like what she was saying. She was like, starting at 15 or 16, I lived on my own, but she didn't like explain exactly why.
Yeah.
So it's like, is there trauma? Was it just a thing? I don't know. So,
I mean, I once dated a guy. This is not my ex who is 1 of 11. This was my ex who was 1 of 8. And his parents, at age like 16 or 17, like the oldest would leave.
Oh, wow. Just like
room for the,
wow, crazy. So I guess that's, maybe it's just a thing. And Kristen FaceTimes the chefs, tells them to look out their window, and it's the Dane County Farmers Market, and they have $100 to shop, but they have to shop before they know what the quick fire is. Mm-hmm. So they all go out and they run around the farmers market. And you know, we're all a sucker for farmers markets on this pod.
Yep.
We love them. And this seemed like a very big farmer's market. Mm-hmm. Like, it had like a lot of different stuff there. And to me, I mean, I'm not a chef, but at a farmer's market, $100 is like a lot of money.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you can get like, I mean, unless you're, they're just for doing a quick fire. They didn't have to like feed a bunch of people or anything. You
right.
Know? Charlie says he's grabbing versatile ingredients. And Savannah says that her boyfriend has been timing her at the farmer's market to practice, which is a good idea.
That's totally a
cute thing. And they go up to the roof of this restaurant, L'Etoile, and they meet Kristen and W. Kamau Bell are on the roof, and Tori Miller, who's the chef of L'Etoile. And W. Kamau Bell, I'm not like super familiar with him. Are you? You must.
Yeah, I he works a lot with my client. So, yeah, he's like very he does a lot of like the Daily Show kind of. That's his
world.
Yeah,
I don't want to talk shit, especially because he's friends with your client. But I do feel like sometimes the comedians try to be a little too funny.
Yes, always. Always.
Like, you don't need to insert a joke every second here, you know? Yeah. That was a little bit annoying almost. Yeah. But then I feel like at the elimination challenge, he calmed down. At the quick fire, he was like shooting them off. And the elimination challenge, he chilled out a little bit.
Yeah.
So Kristen tells him about Chef Carson Gully, who was from the residence hall of the university. And he wrote a cookbook that had a lot of sauces in it. So they each have to take a sauce from the cookbook and make the sauce with whatever ingredients they got. Well, they get the ingredients for the sauce, but then they have to like cook it with something from the ingredients they got at the farmer's market.
Yeah. I also want to point out, he was also... they mentioned that he was the first Black man to have a cooking show.
Oh, yes. And yeah, I mean, it seemed like he's a cool guy and he's this guy that like people don't know about.
And I kind of wish they leaned more on that, but what can you do? Yes.
And, but when they, one thing is that they kept saying Carson Gully, my brain kept saying Carson Daly. Because the more familiar name to me, and I have to be like, no, that's not there. There's no reason they would be talking about Carson Daly,
you know, famous chef Carson Daly, famous saucier.
I know. And Kristen's like, oh, just grab it. Like, she doesn't want them to like really look at what they're grabbing. But that was like a little weird because it's not like they're like drawing knives and they're doing it blind. Like, they can look, you know.
I know. So they should have. They should have drawn knives, but it did cause some tension.
Yes, it did cause some tension. And Michelle got the dreaded raisin sauce, which I have definitely had. Like, that's like, she was like, what's raisin sauce? I've had that sauce.
Yeah, I've had that sauce on ham.
Exactly. Like, when I was, we went to, when we were at like this resort in the Dominican Republic, they had that sauce for ham there. Which like maybe it's like, you know, the chefs are Caribbean, maybe it's like has roots in Caribbean stuff or whatever, I don't know, but it was definitely like that same type of sauce. Charlie gets Creole sauce, which is lucky for him. And he's doing Creole chicken inspired by his mom, and I definitely cried. He talked about how his mom would be proud of him. And like, ever since, I mean, that's emotional anyway, but ever since like being a mom, if I hear about a dead mom, I'm like, and Laura has herb sauce. She's making fattoush salad, which sounds great. And she says she fell in love with Middle Eastern food when she was in Turkey, and that's how she ended up with a Middle Eastern husband, which is cute to like marry the culture whose food you like the most. It's a good life hack,
right?
Like, you know, that makes you like want to visit your in-laws and stuff. And also, haven't you said that your in-laws are great cooks?
Yeah, my in-laws are great cooks. They don't necessarily make like Southern. There's a couple of Southern dishes that my mother-in-law makes that are excellent, but they're not like Southern chefs, I would say. But every time we visit, we have to get like a meat and three. We always like make sure we hit those. And that's amazing.
Yes. Okay. So the judging, Danny has a cold horseradish sauce. Dan has tartar sauce and he did like a fried egg aioli thing. Savannah had mustard sauce with a poached egg dish. Kevin had mushroom sauce with poached egg rahm schnitzel. Charlie had the Creole sauce of the Creole chicken. Rossica had Spanish sauce. Amanda had egg sauce. And she did like a Thai dish, but she didn't have limes. Mm-hmm. Michelle had the raisin sauce with the spinach and feta baked egg. Mm-hmm. Laura did her herb sauce fattoush. Manny had Figaro sauce with rainbow trout. Kamau asks him, asks Manny if he used to be a fighter. And Manny was a fighter.
Yeah.
At first I thought, like, is that like a weird thing to say to somebody? Like, I felt like that's like a weird judgment based on his looks. But then
yeah. he's
right. It's like, oh, I guess like sometimes people just know these things.
I mean, I guess like, you know, like they always talk about like swimmers' bodies and stuff. Like,
yeah. Well, for fighters, I know they, when you see the cauliflower ear, mm-hmm. you can tell, but this was just, I actually looked at his ears. I'm like, is it because, but there wasn't his ears. He just, just the way his body was.
Yeah.
So on the bottom is Michelle, Amanda, and Kevin. And Kevin, your favorite, your boyfriend, Kevin.
Kevin from Jersey.
Uh-huh. Is on the bottom all the time, but everyone still acts like he's amazing because he's French. But
he's fucking always French.
On the bottom. I know. He's and always on the bottom.
Also, I will say, like, Michelle, I love you. I wouldn't have gone with an egg dish. Like, I thought that was, like, a weird...
So, she just seems so confused by it, basically. Yeah. Yes. And in the top are Charlie, Laura, and Manny. And then Charlie is the winner. And yay. I was like, oh, like, maybe I was wrong. Maybe Charlie is moving on up, you know?
Yeah.
And I was sad.
But I kept saying to myself, like, he did win money. So at least he got something out of the whole situation.
He got $7,500, which is not bad.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like, his food looked great.
Yeah.
And he also says that he proposed to his fiance the day before he left for Top Chef, which is very sweet. So
and all the pictures of them were so cute.
Yes. And I just feel like he probably has a great restaurant. Like people love him. And I'm sorry, the Top Chef is not
racist as shit.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to. You know, John and I, we really want to go back to New Orleans. And so, Charlie, see you at your restaurant.
Awesome. So the elimination challenge is a supper club, which is very, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a team challenge. They have to do a relish tray, a fish dish, a chicken dish, a beef dish, and a dessert.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never been to a Wisconsin supper club, but when we were on our girls trip, that Sunday chicken thing we did was basically a supper club vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, okay, so this is funny. Have you been to Turks Inn?
Yes, but only I was only there for a wedding.
Okay, because Turks Inn, funny thing about it, is actually everything in the interior is from Wisconsin.
You mentioned this on another episode.
Yeah.
So you said that it was a supper club in Wisconsin, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, John and I haven't been there. It was our first date after Charlie was born. So we haven't really been back, so I don't know if it's still the same kind of menu, but it was similar in that, you know, it was different things on a different night, but you did have a little bit of choice, you know, if you were going to pick the chicken or the fish or the, yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah. I only went there for a wedding. I mean, the inside is so cool and the food was good, but I obviously did not get the sit down dinner experience there for a wedding. So Dan says he has, they go to the Harvey house to try the supper club. And this is an elevated supper club.
Yeah.
Looks like, cause I know that a lot of the supper club, you've seen, the Joe Parra, what's Joe Parra show called?
Joe Parra talks to you or.
Yeah. The one that was on Adult Swim.
Yeah.
And I feel that a lot of the supper clubs are more what they showed in there. It's
just
kind of a very very casual.
Yeah.
And it seems just someone's mom is cooking for you. Where this was a very upscale supper club version.
And John and I kept joking that the couple that owned it were going to go swing dancing after.
Oh, yeah. It definitely had that vibe. And I feel like a lot of Wisconsin kind of has that vibe a little bit.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. No offense.
And yes, I really want to go back to Wisconsin. I liked it a lot when I went there. But Yeah. So they have a great punk scene also mm-hmm. there. So Dan says he has a fondness for a relish tray as like the local guy. And he says his family loved chopped liver. Mm-hmm. And I love that.
Yep.
I used to go to this resort with my family in Vermont on Lake Champlain. Mm-hmm. And it was like, yeah, it was like a lake resort, but it was the kind of thing where you had to like dress up for dinner. It's mm-hmm. like, you had to wear a jacket. And like the dining room was supposed to be like very fancy. But it was definitely like old school fancy in a way that was like very kind of like weird and doesn't seem fancy anymore.
Yeah.
And always came around with the relish tray.
Oh, I love it.
Ooh, I'll have one of the pickled green, and you'd be like, I'll have a pickled green bean, I'll have a baby carrot, you know, like, yeah. Like part of like dinner there was you would just be like, oh, and they brought like rolls separately.
I love it.
I loved it too. I think I talked about it before because it was the place where I said that the steak always came with a popover when we yeah. were doing uh-huh. steak, which is obviously yes. that same like world, you know.
Yeah.
And Rossica and Michelle butt heads over who will make fish. Mm-hmm. And I was worried about that. I thought, mm-hmm. oh no, is that going to mean someone's going home? But mm-hmm. It was a red herring. So Michelle is doing dessert. She gives in. She says she's a great team player because she's a twin.
Yeah.
I want to meet Michelle. I love finding out someone's a twin.
I know. And I really want to know what Michelle's twin is like. Like, are yes. they the same? Are they different?
You know, our friend Karen is a twin. Mm-hmm. My friend, one of my best friends, Agatha, she has twins, and I just saw them today. I'm sorry if any twins are offended by this, but I find twins very interesting.
Well, they are, because they, like, you know, you grow up with the same person at the same time, and how does that, like...
Yes, it's an experience that most people will... It's a relationship that only twins can understand.
Yeah.
Because other people will not have... Even if you have a very close sibling, it's not the same.
Yeah.
As literally sharing the womb with somebody.
Yeah.
So... Laura gets way too many ingredients for her dessert. Everyone is pissed. You can, like, see them, like, staring her down when yeah. her items are coming up. And Amanda and Savannah on different teams are both making chicken katsus, which mm-hmm. is interesting that, like, for the fried chicken, they're both chicken katsus.
Mm-hmm.
For the judging, right? The green team comes out. Danny makes his relish tray. It's like black tahini and labneh, and it's mm-hmm. very like Middle Eastern. Charlie does fried fish with a green sauce,
mm-hmm.
and he has pickles, which I only know from Top Chef. And Amanda makes a hot chicken katsu. Mandy makes an ancho crusted steak that they said was too tough. And Laura makes a four leches case, and the judges do not like it. Like, the judges are very intrigued. Like, ooh, four leches. Yeah,
you know? Fourth milk? Right? Was that meme that we posted?
I mean, if I saw on a menu four leches, I'd be like, wow, I gotta find out what this next
right. leche is. I mean, I do love any kind of truss and beyond leches cake.
Truss is not my favorite because I don't like a wet cake, really, but yeah. I like the flavor, and sweetened condensed milk to me is like one of the most delicious things in the world.
I have a squeeze jar of it in my fridge.
I did not. Next time I come over, I'm going to just squeeze. I'm going to make you make me coffee and squeeze some in there.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the purple team comes out. Dan has his relish tray and it looks awesome. And they have these raw vegetables and soil and a chicken liver mousse. And it looks very good.
Mm-hmm.
Rossica does fried snapper with mint dill herb sauce, which judges say is too salty. Kevin does beef tenderloin au jus, and it's undercooked. And okay, so Kevin and Manny, the twins, mm-hmm. they both make a bad steak.
Mm-hmm. And also, I know that I'm like gunning for Kevin, but his sounded like the most uninteresting thing.
I agree with you. I mean, like we were saying before, it's like they give Kevin such a pass because he's mm-hmm. French.
Yep.
And they don't give Charlie a pass at all because he's black.
Yep.
And like, this is like the thing about like, you know, like, sorry if I'm going to make anyone mad, if any MAGA people are listening to this, but this is like, you know, like the diversity, equity, and inclusion thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's not treating people the same. It is realizing that you treat people differently and being like, oh, I need to like think about that.
Right.
Because if like Tom's like, you know, and I can't just blame Tom because there's three judges, but I think in general, like in Top Chef, it's just like, oh, my palate is totally unbiased. And I'm just, but they're not just judging with their palate. They're judging with all their biases too.
Mm-hmm.
And they eat two things and they just give the white French guy the benefit of the doubt and mm-hmm. don't give Charlie the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. And like, that's like the fucked up thing, you know? Anyway.
No, completely. Yes. And those swing dancer restaurant owners, I feel like the same thing.
But also some people said that they liked Charlie's better, but mm-hmm. we'll get there in a minute. Savannah made chicken tonkatsu and she didn't need caviar. Michelle made a bread pudding, which everyone loves.
Mm-hmm.
It was coconut bread pudding with pineapple cream sauce. Yeah, it sounds great. And at first I thought they were like setting Michelle up for the loser edit.
Yeah.
Really scared, but no, like she did great again.
Again, yeah. And although it was so funny, I mean, it always happens when they show the dish after there's a cream sauce and it always looks like jizz. Like it's yes. just like
it doesn't film well, a cream no. sauce.
No.
And okay, so at judge's table, they pull up the purple team first. They win. Dan's relish tray wins, mm-hmm. which is awesome. And I was thinking again about our friend Kevin. Like, so Dan did this relish tray, which is like a bunch of like small little things that were like, you know, all pretty simple. And he mm-hmm. made it like amazing. Mm-hmm. Well, remember Kevin when he did his little appetizer and it was like three disgusting olives? Like, that's the thing. He's like, you can do like a simple thing and the judges totally. Love it, you know? And Dan, I know that we like didn't like Dan at first. He's kind of annoying, but he's growing on me.
Yeah, he is growing on me too.
He's a sweetheart. And I feel like he like does know stuff. I feel yeah. like, and he does that thing where he like cooks from experience in a way yeah. that is like enjoyable.
Right.
So yeah. So I was really glad that Dan won. They pull up the green team. Tom is like pissed. They tell them about how Laura bought all that stuff, and Tom is like totally pissed.
Yeah.
And he's like, they couldn't even afford vegetables because of you. But like Laura, they didn't love her dessert, but they like, she's not even up for elimination because they were like, it was better than other stuff. So
yeah.
But
here's the thing. Like, there's been so many other Top Chef seasons where they have eliminated people because they're not team players.
Yes, totally. Exactly. And like, yeah, like it's like if it's a team challenge, it's like not just like, oh, your team wins or loses. It should also be like how you impacted the team. Should
totally.
Yeah. And like they asked Charlie why he didn't make his pickles spicy. And he says, because like last time he used like the level he wanted Joe Flam, the whitest guy in the world, was like, it's too spicy. Which would be me too. Like, yeah. I get it. But like, I feel bad that Charlie like let that get to his head.
I know.
And Tom says he's overthinking it. And then Charlie is eliminated. And it was so sad because he was like had this great moment earlier in the episode and then he's gone, you know? Yep. But I do feel like they were gunning for him the entire time. Like,
totally.
They like had him on the chopping block in their heads where like, for example, Kevin, they're like, oh, of course he's not going home. He's French.
Right.
So yeah. But then they go to Last Chance Kitchen and I like don't have any notes for Last Chance Kitchen. I mm-hmm. just watch it. But so they did it. What ends up happening is mm-hmm. that they send through Kalina and Sue.
Mm-hmm.
And I was shocked because we knew from like the second they started this whole thing that Sue was going through. Like
right.
there was no question of that. It was yeah. like, as we put in another episode, it was a charade. They even had him compete because obviously they're going to send him through. But I am like, I know that you were not the biggest Kalina fan, but I was really glad that they actually sent someone from the show through also.
I was glad, but it didn't surprise me
uh-huh.
because I was like, people would riot if they just sent Sue,
uh-huh.
you know, like the yeah. people who are participating. Not,
yes.
Not
and
like
then
fans.
Sue would be really set up for failure because everyone would be gunning for him.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. I didn't think about that. I just thought that like they were gonna like be like, oh, they were shaking it up. And they showed like in the preview, Chris and me like, I love when things get shaken up.
And then she like, goes, oh. Ooh.
It's like whatever, you know. I don't want to, I think Kristen's doing a great job, but I have to say the thing that I really miss about Padma more than anything is her fashion. Because mm-hmm. like Kristen, like she looks great, but she doesn't have like, you're not like, wow, look what she's wearing. You know, like she's kind of has like a very like, what? You
well, were? I was going to say she has like a very fancy style for like a dyke. Yes. Like that's.
Yeah, so. But it's just not. But I mean, like, I know. Yeah, I guess we say for a dyke. I was going to say I know lots of very fashionable lesbians. but I'm thinking specifically Gabby Windy, who remember I said that Gabby Windy should be the new host of the show. Remember I said that? Because I think Gabby has like a Padma vibe. But Pat, I'm like, I'm so obsessed with Gabby Windy.
So the thing about the difference between Kristen and Padma's fashion, I think, is that even though like Kristen is very high fashion, it's Padma just changed up her look so much for each episode.
She changed up her look so much. And like just Kristen, it's like she wears mostly neutrals, mm-hmm. which is fine. I know some people like neutrals, not me. But like Padma, it's like, yeah, like she had a different hairstyle every episode. She had mm-hmm. crazy high fashion. And you know, like she just like had like stylists that she would like let go wild, mm-hmm. which like I really, and like I think that Kristen looks great, but I do miss that aspect.
Yeah.
I do miss seeing Padma and like what she's wearing today. And like Gail looks great, but as you know, I'm mad at her.
Yep. Yep.
I like can't get over being mad at her.
I know.
And I'm also mad at Tom for, you know, the obvious reasons. So I'm just like, and like, I'm not mad at Kristen, but I do miss Padma.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so I did think that it looked like Kalina deserved to win. I'm glad she went through.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she's going to make it far. What do you think? Yeah.
And Sue, what I've noticed in the last couple of things is he's done a lot of fried stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
And I wonder if that's going to come into play at all.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how he does. I mean, I feel like Lashin's Kitchen is very different because Lashin's Kitchen is always short. Mm-hmm. So I understand sometimes the fryer is the fastest way to do something. So we'll see mm-hmm. what happens in his elimination challenges. But yeah, so we'll see. And now the episode, the season, I mean, they're going to have to do another double elimination because they can't just add 2 weeks onto it probably. So
yeah.
We'll see what happens. And I wonder how many more people will come in from Last Chance Kitchen, if they will just do it one more time, or if like, cause sometimes I just feel like they bring in lots of people.
Right.
So, yeah. But yeah.
Shaking things up.
Yes. So, Debbie, do you want to tell me what you had for dinner tonight?
So, you know, we're recording on a Sunday. I went to the farmer's market. Hake was on sale. And there was some lovely kale.
Ooh.
So I did this like, well, okay. So this is my fall, my downfall. I've never cooked hake before. So I was like, oh, what, you know, let me look at some of the recipes that, people cook hake with. And one was from the BBC and I shouldn't have used it. Like, I knew that was like,
it was called like King Charles's favorite hake or something.
Yeah. Or it was like it. So it sounded like it was going to be, it was like smoky hake with greens and beans. And I was like, okay, that sounds good. Like it had chorizo in it. I was like, yum. It was so bland. I had to like add so much more seasoning and all this other stuff that wasn't called for. So that kind of was annoying, but it was really good. Once I doctored it up, I probably wouldn't make it like that again, but it was like kale. I used garbanzo beans, even though it called for cannellini because I had garbanzo, chorizo, and then the hake.
So, awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. What about you?
So I'm cooking, like, I spent all day today cooking. I started the brisket. Mm-hmm. I roasted the beets. I chopped leeks. Oh, that's one thing I want to talk about is that leeks are so traumatizing to me. I love them, so I do them. But the amount of dirt you keep finding is, like, so, it's, like, very upsetting for me to have, like, washed it four times and then look at it. And I'm like, oh, my God, this big clump of dirt is here.
That's how I feel about clams, too.
Oh, yeah. It's, like, anything that, like, if you don't wash it well enough is sandy is very hard for me. But I did it. You know, so, like, after I dice them, I just wash them, like, a bunch. Mm-hmm. So I dice the leeks. What else did I do besides the brisket, the beets, the leeks? Oh, I made, for the briskets, I'm doing, like, having the option for people to put it in a taco if they want. Mm. And I made, like, a red cabbage slaw. Nice. So, like, I was, like, cooking, like, all day. So mm-hmm. we had Mexican takeout for dinner.
Excellent.
And I got chorizo and steak nachos. Oh,
nice.
Yesterday, I need to share this on the pod, on my public platform that, like, you know, 40 people will hear. But last night I went to a mom's night out thing at this sports bar near my house. And mm-hmm. we should have known better, but it was the playoffs mm-hmm. of basketball. Mm-hmm. And it was packed. But, like, we got, like, they were able to give us a table pretty soon. And, like, so, like, we sat down and we, like, got drinks and we ordered food because we hadn't mm-hmm. had dinner yet. I, like, got a burger. And they're like, oh, food's a little delayed. So, like, and yeah, you see where this is going. So we, like, sat down at, like, 7:30. It was like 7:45 when they told us food was delayed. Uh-huh. At, like, 9:15, we were like, oh, so is the food almost here? And she's like, I'll go check. You will not believe this. Just get ready for this. She went to the back and she comes back and she goes, they said food is going to still be another hour and a half.
I thought it was going to be like, oh, we forgot your ticket or something. Like,
oh, she was just like, it was like, it's going to take 3 hours for your food to come. And we just said, obviously, we said no. And then, like, we had ordered drinks and uh-huh. one of the moms, like, went and, like, raised hell. And the lady uh-huh. came back and she was like, okay, I'll give you 10% off. And we're like, why? No. And yeah, so, like, I basically just slammed a slice of pizza on my walk home because like the other people went out, but I had uh-huh. to do Passover today. And I was like, I can't stay out till 2 a.m. or whatever.
Right.
So I just I was like in need of, that's why I got the chorizo and the steak on the nachos because mm-hmm. I was like in need of meat sustenance.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So everyone beware cobblestones during cobblestones in Forest Hill.
Oh yeah. I pass that place a lot when
I've been there a lot and uh-huh. it's like usually like a totally passable casual sports bar. That's like not great, but it's like, I've been there like with like similar, like, you know, like groups of moms or whatever plenty mm-hmm. of times. And it's usually just like, yeah, you get some wings, it's fine, you leave, you know? But it was 3 hours.
3 hours is...
And if they told us it's going to be 3 hours, fine. We just won't order anything and we'll go somewhere else.
Right.
But like waiting until an hour and a half has already passed to tell you it's going to be another hour and a half, that is real sketch.
Yeah. Also, like, that restaurant is not that big.
They have a big backyard. It was really crowded, but I do think that they probably just like something had to happen because there's no way that like they can't just like give everyone some fries, you know, like that takes 1 second to like cook a bunch of fries, you know?
Right.
So anyway, but yeah, so, I will not be petty enough to go give them a bad review, but you should go on to Apple iTunes and give us a good review.
Send us hate mail.
Send us hate mail, give us a positive review, and then send us hate mail. So it's the ultimate effect. And then also, you know, follow us on Instagram at Moms of Flavor Town, tell your friends, etc. Mm-hmm. And I hope everyone has a great Passover. Hag Sameach, everybody. Mm-hmm.
Oh, one thing I want to also mention is that we have been reposting a lot of Chef Chris's stuff. We should make a date to actually go to.
Yes, we should go Harlem. We're going to go to Harlem and we're going to say F you to Columbia. Because I think his restaurant's like in Columbia, basically.
Oh, is it real? Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not like officially, but I think it's like
a black
that's
away.
That's like who its services is. Like they have a student special for Columbia.
Yeah.
So say F you, Columbia, and say solidarity to the students, and then also have a delicious biscuit.
Yes.
Okay. And on that note, I think it's a good note time to say it's time for us.
Pack our knives and go.
Goodbye.
Good night.